This is the Bob Harris Show here on Radio 2 and our Midnight Hour acoustic session coming up now with Glenn Tilbrook and his band The Fluffers. This is a session we recorded about 6 or 7 weeks ago when they were here with us in the studio. Glenn, of course, you know, is one of the great songwriters of this country, who is responsible for some of the wonderful songs from Squeeze in the 70s, 80s, and really now even into present time, although there's a whole raft of really good solo albums from him, and the new one with his band The Fluffers is called Pandemonium Ensues. We'll be hearing some of the songs from that in the session tonight, the first of which is the opening song from the CD. So this is Glenn Tilbrook, and this is Best of Times.
It was early in the morning, you were laying on the floor. The person that I loved most dearly, a baby wasn't meant to come for 6 weeks more. But the best laid plans can you laugh. I try to pack your bag and prove it, I'm not the better half. What you wanted was what I've withheld so long. You supported me when my heart was broken. A difference is resolved, but something may be wrong. But the fear that haunts us,
Best of Times is the title of the song. It's the opening song from the album Pandemonium Ensues, which it kind of has done.
we have a good time when we're playing, and I think that sort of comes across, and we're lucky that with the sort of chemistry we have between each other, just sort of clicks, you know.
Yeah, it does. You can immediately sense that. Just, Glenn, introduce us to everybody.
Okay, I'm going to introduce to my immediate left, although of course that won't mean anything to you at home, is Lucy Shaw on the double bass. She normally plays any sort of bass instrument that can be found around Lucy, and she's singing as well. Next to her is Simon Hansen. He's playing the bongo. It used to be called the bongo drum when I was growing up. I think it was some sort of reference to African derivation of the bongo and drum to designate exactly what sort of instrument it was. Coming along after him, there's Stephen Large on the piano accordion. Called the piano accordion because it has piano keyboards and is an accordion wind instrument.
And it all sounds very, very good. And the new album is the first you've all recorded at the same time together.
Yes, yes.
And I'm so interested in the development of this direction, this sound.
Yeah.
Where has it come from, Glenn?
I think it came from a couple of things. My last album was 5 years ago, and the Fluffers really toured that whole album. We went through the whole experience that I went through at the beginning with Squeeze of playing small clubs across America. We could just about afford to have a band at that point, and we did the whole thing very, very, you know, just sort of humming our own gear. And not that that makes us heroes, but it just, you know, it's quite a change from the world that I was involved with Squeeze. And I don't mind that. I believed in, and I still believe in this band. And we went through all that stuff. We were sleeping on people's floors and breaking down by the side of the road, and it's all that stuff you wouldn't wish on your best friends. But but actually, like people going together and paintballing at the weekend, it does sort of bond you, and you know, in a proper band sense.
And so, it's life adventure,
yeah,
isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, they were the worst times we had, but the best thing that I could offer them was not an awful lot of money, but a really great experience of going to campsites and cooking, and all that stuff combines. The experience we've had playing has really informed this record, because I decided that it would be a really great idea if we treated it like an old-fashioned record, and that we learnt the songs on the day we recorded them and went for takes and really did overdubs in an old style. In other words, there'd be backing vocals maybe, or a solo here and there, or the odd replaced vocal, but really everything was recorded live, and there's a spirit to it. And I think, you know, a bit of a spring in the step that I'm really proud of, you know, and that's what this band sounds like.
Well, the instrumentation is kind of traditional instrumentation. You kind of got to respect it in that way, haven't you?
Yeah, it works. And, you know, I mean, oddly enough, one of the things that informed me was Squeeze getting back together 2 years ago. What we decided to do with it, and Stephen and Simon are playing in this version of Squeeze 2, is we went back to the records and learnt them. So we've become like our own best tribute band. You know, I really enjoyed doing that. We play the records. We sound exactly like the records now. And it sort of told me something that I'd gradually forgotten how to do, which was how to make things short and sweet. You know, so really the only watchwords besides playing together for this record is to make everything as short as possible, and, you know, trim it down and trim it down and trim it down. So you know, we lost a minute from some of the songs, and I can't really say I miss them.
But I mean, that's where rock and roll comes from, doesn't it? That two-minute single, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot to be learned by that. I'm all for experimentation. I'm all for different ways of recording. You know, I'm back to basics now, but I respect people. And I've been there. I've spent a year on a record, and I know, you know, sort of crossing every T and dotting every I. But right now, I just want to be spontaneous.
Yeah. Well, it's working brilliantly. Play us some more.
Thank you. All right, we're going to play. I'm going to play a song called Still. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Could it be a twist of fate, or was it written in tea leaves or maybe stars that we'd both be smitten? Couldn't help myself but think you were fantastic, self-sufficient, organized, and enthusiastic. Of seeing you, building up, not whittling down, a total timer. We're together and it's right, no chaos or drama. Just one look at you can send my spirit soaring. Me and Mrs. Malaprop, present and adoring. Between us still. to punch my lights out. Oh, sometimes I'm handy.
Glenn Tilbrook and band are with us in the studio tonight. So officially it's Glenn Tilbrook and the Fluffers with music from the new album Melancholy Emotion. That song is called Still. And, you know, I have to ask you, I'm sure everybody asks you, that, I mean, there are a number of names attached to this album. Guests that you've had in with you, Glenn.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp and Vanessa Paradis, how did their involvement with this album come about?
Well, it was extremely unexpected. We were touring in the US with Squeeze, and Johnny and Vanessa came along to see us that evening. It was a weird, oddly star-studded evening. Pink was there, and Leona Lewis was there as well.
Right.
None of whom I would think would have been interested in us, but it just goes to show, doesn't it? So they came backstage and said how much they loved it, and then the next day, we were off to, that was in LA, we were off to San Francisco, and I got a call from Johnny's bloke who said that they'd like to meet up at some point. And as luck would have it, Bob Clearmountain was mixing the records, so I was going back to LA to the next week. So we met up and I said, hey, do you fancy being on this song? Now, originally on the Too Close to the Sun, it was my mate Pete the Pest Controller who did the Too Close to the Sun, but he got bumped in favour of Johnny Depp.
It's not right.
I'm sorry to Pete, let me say that publicly now, but Johnny Depp sort of just had a bit more of an allure about him for various reasons. Anyway, they were very sweet to do that for us.
And I mean, Bob Clearmountain is a name that's been associated with so many massive albums over the years.
Yeah.
To define, for people who don't know about mixing,
yeah,
and what a mixing engineer does. What did Bob Clearmountain bring into this?
Bob Clearmountain bought, we were all really excited. Everyone had done a great job and we just needed it finished off properly. Bob Clearmountain brings ears, basically, a great deal of equipment. He works at his house. He knows how to use it. He's been there 15 years. And he has the experience. And, you know, I could never afford someone like Bob, and he made a deal that was incredible for us to do this record because he liked it, and that's so humbling and flattering for me. I'm just gobsmacked still.
It shows you, doesn't it, all of this, the last sort of couple of minutes of what you've been explaining, Glenn, does demonstrate the extent to which you are held in high esteem.
Mm.
It does, doesn't it?
It's really lovely.
How do you feel about that?
It's just lovely because, you know, I've always believed in what I do, and I believe in this band, I believe in Squeeze, but you go through stages of, of, you know, having that belief tested every now and then. But, you know, I'll never give up. I'm very persistent, I think.
And Quixotic Records. Mm, mm. Tell me about the label.
Okay, well, the label's been going basically for 12 years. It was formed because I produced an album for Nick Harper 12 years ago. I was absolutely certain that everyone would love it. Shows you how much I know, because we couldn't get a deal for him. And so we decided to release the record ourselves. And I have subsequently released all my records on Quixotic. And it's weird that I've been the happiest I've ever been in the music business in the last 10 or 12 years, sort of being out of the... I mean, I would love to be selling lots of records and that, but really what makes me happy is that the hand of A&R, which gained increasing hold on the career of Squeeze, not always, you know, for the best results, although I went along with it willingly, that's not there now. We can just make music properly the way we want to, and I'm really enjoying that.
I quite often refer back to 1999 and South by Southwest and Lucinda Williams with her keynote speech.
Right.
At the beginning of the festival, where she was saying, no compromise for an artist. She said, I don't know anybody who signed to a major label had to adapt and compromise to get the deal.
Yeah.
Who has success, but not on their own terms.
Yeah, yeah.
That then is happy with that.
Yes.
Eventually, it sort of gnaws them, and you know that you compromise to achieve that success.
Well, indeed. You know, I mean, what's amazing to me is that when I look back, when Squeeze were signed, we did five albums without even seeing an A&R guy. We were allowed to develop in a way that I think musicians or bands aren't really allowed to, unless they go an independent route, and I think more and more people are doing that.
Mm.
With Quixotic, I'm working with an Irish band called the Raglans, and the Spring Standards from America. They're going to come over and do some stuff, you know, and both of these bands make music that I'm really excited about and really, you know, should be heard in some way, and we're doing our small parts to try and get it out there.
Yeah. Well, so, you brought in a couple of things to play tonight, and you gave me a list from which I've chosen a couple, and
okay,
the first is The Faces.
Yeah.
Ooh La La.
Yeah.
So just tell us about this song for you, Glenn.
Okay. For me, when I was growing up, The Faces were my favourite live band. I saw them three times in 71, 73 and 75. And they were splendidly chaotic. You know, they delivered either a great show or a pretty rubbish show, but they had a spirit about them on stage, and I think that spirit was really personified by Ronnie Lane, who has become latterly a bit of a hero of mine, mainly because of his attitude towards music and the wonderful musicality he brought to The Faces, and I think was missed after he left, you know, and his solo stuff is absolutely wonderful. And I like the fact that he chose to tour in a circus.
Yes.
Which was not a financially successful move. I've done things like that that haven't been financially successful either, so I'll say hats off to you, sir.
Yeah. So here they come. This is The Faces. Lovely. This is Ooh La La. La La. That's The Faces, and that's the choice of Glenn Tilbrook, who's with us here in the studio. And while that was playing, wasn't it, we were talking Ronnie Lane. And A, what a lovely guy he was. But also, there's a happy-go-lucky aspect to his music, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. I never knew him, so I can only imagine that's an expression of his personality. That's what I like to think. And it's quite warm and inviting. That's how I find it.
That's exactly right. Paul Weller is also another big fan, isn't he, of Ronnie Lane's music. And your second choice, well, it prompts me to talk Nashville.
Yeah.
Because I taught Nashville. I bore about Nashville to death. But I love the place.
And I do too.
It's such an amazing music centre. And I keep being a sort of ad for Nashville here in the UK, because I always think if people went out to Nashville and experienced it, and how high the bar is there, yes. Glenn. Because you find yourself suddenly surrounded by this community of musicians, the expertise of which is almost beyond belief.
Yes.
Talking about Emmylou Lou, Buddy Miller, Rodney Crowell, people like this.
Yeah.
So your own experience of Nashville, because you played there, didn't you, on your recent tour?
Yeah, we were there. In fact, Stephen and I found out just how high the bar was when we tried to hop a freight train in Nashville. We seriously did. We did an interview in Lightning 100. And behind Lightning 100, there's a freight line. And I just love this, you know, it's a romantic notion of hopping a freight train. We weren't actually going to go anywhere, of course, but just you have to get on it and hold on for, I don't know, 30 seconds or so, and you've hopped a freight train in Nashville. Stephen got on at first. The bar was a bit too high, and he fell right off again, unfortunately. Although on subsequent attempt, he got on, he and I got on, and it was a lovely moment. But to take your question,
just on that point, because almost wherever you are in Nashville, you can hear that lonesome whistle blow.
Oh, absolutely.
From the freight trains.
They go right through the centre, don't they? Yeah. And it's one of the definitive American sounds. You know, I'm very much a sound orientated person, and that sound of a freight train going through is just gorgeous. Musicianship in Nashville. When I went there and did the half of Transatlantic Ping Pong that I did, it was amazing, because the guys that I played with there were all, they came from a variety of backgrounds, but half the guys played country, but, you know, the country players can play anything. Yeah. It's not like they can just do country. And what was weird for me is that they actually threw back what they thought I was at me, which is like a weird mirror reflection of squeeze-like stuff. And I would never have done that or chosen to do that myself. But coming through the prism of their understanding of me, it actually made it great. You know, it was a very curious experience. But they took us out to, I think I was mentioning this to you earlier on, they took us out to this little bar with musicians of all ages, right up to, you know, really, really old guys get up and play, and the standard of playing there and the mutual respect they have for each other is just incredible. And it's a very humbling experience going to see those guys.
Fantastic place, Nashville.
Yeah.
Some of the greatest music in the world. I really do believe that.
Absolutely. Well, so do I. Yeah. And it took me a while, you know. We did a tour with Elvis Costello in 1981, and this is when Elvis was really into country, and I didn't get country really until then. He played all this stuff, and the penny drops, you know. I thought country went, you know, this sort of cliched view of country. And of course, well, some country goes like that, but you know, there's the whole depth
and
range.
Well, I thought the line is a bit like that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But it took until then for me to really understand the depth, and also lyrically, it conveys a lot of stuff that I think other music doesn't, and that's really important to me.
Well, let's listen to this choice. I won't set it up any more than that.
It's reported you've been drinking and are running round with men and going wild. And we don't believe you ought to be bringing up your little girl this way. And it was signed by the secretary, Harper Valley PTA. surprise when Mrs. Johnson wore her mini skirt into the room. And as she walked up to the blackboard, I can still recall the words she had to say. She said, "I'd like to address this meeting of the Harper Valley PTA. Well, there's Bobby Taylor sitting there, and seven times he's asked me for a date. And Mrs. Taylor sure seems to use a lot of ice whenever he's away.
That's the thing about country music, isn't it? Also, three chords and the truth, and it just tells true stories about people's lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing I like about country players is that they demonstrate something I have no knowledge of, that's economy.
Yes.
I will fill every gap in known. Unless I'm really careful, I'm quite a busy player, but they know how to just make every note count.
It's a gift, economy.
That's a lovely,
word
lovely,
economy
lovely
is
skill.
A gift. And, you know, I remember the DJ, Roger Scott.
Yeah.
I always used to hold him in very high esteem.
Yeah.
Word economy.
Yeah.
He was able to sum things up in, you know, Harper Valley PTA. Anyway, that was Jeannie C. Riley. And that's the choice of Glenn Tilbrook, who's here with us in the studio with his band, The Fluffers, about to perform another song.
We are. Going to play a song which is about social deprivation, love deprivation, love being given to children or not, the role of the state in that, nature or nurture. All these things don't make a rock and roll song, do they? Well, yes, they jolly well do. It's called Through the Net.
The judge looked tired, he'd heard enough. Police had found her sleeping rough. Wanted for a previous assault, for which she'd not turned up in court. She sat there, slouched her bail. His only option to refuse bail. She's only young, but you wouldn't bet against her slipping through. He was always chaperoned from party bags to public school. He learned to bend or break the rules. His teenage hormones couldn't take his parents' stifling embrace. Better background you won't get, but he's still slipping through. Services. They loved their kids and couldn't see. They led their lives chaotically. The youngest girl has searched ahead. She loves to
Surprising that, isn't it?
Glenn Tilbrook and the Fluffers are here with us in the studio. And we must round off with a track from the album itself, Glenn. What would you like me to play?
I'd like to play Melancholy Emotion, which is a song written about the comedian and self-styled anarchist Malcolm Hardy, who died a few years ago. He was a legend amongst people who knew him. He booked comedy acts from his club up the creek in South London. And his life was more sort of performance art and comedy. But this is a song about him. It's called Melancholy Emotion.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. It's been great to see
you. Thank you for having us.
And this is from the new album, as Glenn says. Glenn Tilbrook and the Fluffers from Pandemonium Ensues.
Thinking about whatever I've got, I'm still around and plenty or not. I tighten my belt as the plane takes off. Melancholy emotion.
Glenn Tilbrook from the album Pandemonium Ensues. We heard him play Best of Times, Still and Through the Net live in the studio and there with his band The Fluffers from the album itself. Glenn Tilbrook and Melancholy Emotion.